Instagram in a time of coronavirus, what it means for influencers, the creator economy, and us. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. For the many people who are at home as this pandemic rolls on, screen time is up, way up. And a lot of that is being spent on social media. Whether it's community, organizing help and support, or for entertainment, people are turning to Facebook and Facebook-owned Instagram. But the way they're using those platforms is changing. And creators who have made their living selling a lifestyle are now trying to figure out how to change the message. Sarah Fryer is author of the new book, No Filter, The Inside Story of Instagram. She says people are turning to social media less for perfectly curated travel envy and more for support.
Right now, we're all home and we just want to know how to bake bread or work out or you know, stay healthy. And people on Instagram are delivering that. You know, they're also delivering live performances, and we're spending so much more time on Instagram than we ever have, especially on the live video component and on the messaging component, because let's be honest, we don't really have vacation photos to share right now.
Right. I wonder, and that's what I was wondering, is how is the usage changing? It, like, live videos had not been, I would say, a huge part of the Instagram experience, and now all of a sudden it's like, everybody, I mean, I'm getting like 10 texts a day. Club quarantine is starting. You have to go now.
Exactly. I mean, there's live tutorial videos, art happening on Instagram, music. I mean, this is what they built the product for. One of the things I've learned reporting this book is, you know, no matter what your intentions are in building a product, you can't really control what people do with it, but you can shape their incentives. Mm-hmm. And so the incentives of Instagram have always been around getting a higher follower count, getting a better level of attention on your photos. And now the incentives are to entertain, to give people something to do as they're stuck at home.
Right, totally. One thing I learned from your book was the extent to which moderating the content, or at least having, you know, an influence over the content, keeping it a relatively nice place, was always a goal for the founders. And yet now Instagram does find itself in this position of being an actual platform for misinformation. How did that evolution happen and how are they trying to fight it?
Well, there are a couple levels of misinformation on Instagram. There is the sinister kind that we have heard and talked a lot about, you know, election misinformation, medical misinformation. Anti-vaxxers have really thrived on Instagram, as have people giving bad advice on how to deal with coronavirus. And on Instagram, you can build a following and then use that following for whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And there are also ways to gather in hashtag communities. And that's how people are you know, gathering around certain harmful ideas, whether it's like the alt-right or ISIS. They're working to try to stem those issues. But on Instagram, they look very different. And then the third thing that really thrives on Instagram versus Facebook is memes, just this image-based content that is a whole lot harder for the Facebook-based systems to really find and take down, because that's not how Facebook has grown. And so I think one of the big problems with finding misinformation on Instagram is that it doesn't fit the same machine learning patterns as Facebook. And Facebook, which owns Instagram, is in charge of how the resources for solving these problems get allocated. And Instagram is not a top priority. The other type of misinformation that we see on Instagram is societal behavior. All of us pretending to live a life that's more exciting or beautiful or interesting than it actually is. Right. It's performance art.
And I wonder, how do you see that playing out now? Because I will freely confess to basically just having to like unfollow at least one family who seems to be doing the apocalypse way too perfectly. How is that social pressure playing out now at this time when there's all this anxiety, fear, and tragedy.
I think influencers are having a really hard time figuring out how to not offend people. Their whole gig is they present a lifestyle that everyone else wants to try to attain. The thing that they've been doing now is they've been giving everything this charity angle. So there's been a lot more acknowledgement of the darkness of our current situation. And there hasn't been space for that on Instagram in the past.
Interesting. So maybe when we come out the other side of this, creator culture will be deeper and more empathetic. Is that too hopeful?
Well, at least the facade of everyone having a perfect life and being able to, like you said, do quarantine super well. I mean, I think that the expectations are right now just to try to get through it, right? Mm-hmm. And influencers that I've seen, you know, acknowledge this. They've talked about the mental load and the depression and the fear associated with our current moment. And I do think that that's going to change the platform long term, that it's going to be a slow crawl back to normal. It's not like they're going to lift the stay-at-home order and everyone's going to go back to sharing their Michelin star plating at the date night they're having. It's going to be a while before we're back to vacation pictures and, you know, children in coordinated outfits.
If we find that Instagram continues to evolve in the direction of a lot of live video, of messaging, what does that mean for Instagram's revenue in the long term? Is it harder to advertise on a live stream and certainly in messaging?
I do think that across Facebook, not just on Instagram, the change in behavior is going to necessitate a change in the business model as more people use these other products. And on Instagram, their big initiative this year has been shopping. And that plan might be disrupted by the fact that the economy is hurting now, and you may be less willing to take a chance on a random product if you don't have your essentials covered.
Sarah Fryer is author of the new book, No Filter, The Inside Story of Instagram. In the last week, Instagram has made both live video and messaging available on the web. Previously, they could only be used in the app. And now for some related links. A little more news on the creator economy. The big platforms have reported tons more users, but also a lot less advertising since the pandemic began. And YouTubers who make their living off that advertising say their pay is tanking. The Interactive Advertising Bureau reports that digital ad spending is down at least a third. A lot of creators had already tried to diversify into merchandise sales and individual deals with brands, as well as direct support from users. But no doubt all that shopping and donating is on the downswing as well. And here's what else is happening in tech. The mobile streaming video platform Quibi launched last week. Some, including myself, had speculated that a big captive audience of bored humans was probably the best thing that could happen to Quibi. CEO Meg Whitman told CNBC that the service saw about 1.7 million downloads in that first week, and that the company is pushing up a feature that will let people cast shows from their phones to their TVs. Originally, Quibi was going to be mobile only. And now a brief check-in on Amazon, which is simultaneously essential, failing to rise to the logistical challenge of the pandemic, and still surprisingly failing to take care of its workers. Christopher Mims had a piece in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend noting that Amazon built its brand on the trust and power of fast delivery. But now people are starting to try to figure out other places to shop because Amazon is, well, not delivering. But the company is probably profiting even more these days on its cloud services. In related news, Amazon said it will allow third-party sellers to start shipping non-essential items to its warehouses again. That's good news for millions of small sellers. It also said it will stop taking new online grocery customers and prioritize existing customers for delivery from Whole Foods, Amazon Fresh, and Prime Now. And workers continue to protest working conditions at Amazon's warehouses. On Monday, white-collar tech workers started tweeting photos of themselves holding signs in solidarity with those employees. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.